Fred Rogan and Rob Parker in for Rodney this week on AM570 LA Sports, the BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour, 866-987-2570. Best 30-second take gets you a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. We are jam-packed today, and let's get to it off the top. You heard Colin a couple of minutes ago talking about a report about the generation's most dominant male athlete. And in this report, they have Mike Trout as a more dominant athlete than LeBron James. They do it from an analytics standpoint.
Are those the pocket protectors, Fred? The pocket protector guys? Those are the guys we're talking about.
Yeah, analytics, right. Numbers. They break down the numbers. They look at the contribution to the game. They look at their overall statistics. And they've determined that Mike Trout is a more dominant athlete than LeBron James. Mike Trout living here in Southern California, playing for the Angels, arguably the best player in baseball. On the other hand, LeBron James, now living in Southern California, playing for the Lakers, and arguably the best player in basketball.
And the second best actor in town, right? Well, LeBron? Not yet?
And the number one producer.
And the number one producer.
Second best actor, most dominant basketball player in the world. When you see this, do you buy Mike Trout is more dominant than LeBron James?
I can see, like, from the analytics part, you know, like when they crunch the numbers, but he's not. And you can't be unless you've won. That's the problem I have with this, because that has to factor in. They keep acting as if that doesn't matter, or, well, he can't help it if he's on a bad team. He's still a great player. That sounds good, but I tell you, you talk to most fans, and nobody will consider Mike Trout the greatest player or most dominant. It just won't happen. You have
well,
to
no,
win, Fred.
No, no, nope. To be fair, Rob, they might consider him the greatest player in baseball, but I'm certainly not talking about the most dominant athlete.
I don't even know. I still think that at some point you have to win. I just think that winning is a part of that dominance.
Was Alex Rodriguez dominant when he played for Texas?
Troy was dominant, but he got that World Series, which made it better. But his numbers, he had, 700 home runs. There's a lot of other things that went into it. All I'm saying, when you think about Mike Trout, I think he's a great player. Am I, like, so moved to think, oh, my God, what I'm watching, I can't believe I'm watching, and nobody's ever been this great? No. When I think of the greatest player I've ever seen, to be honest, I think of Barry Bonds. I don't think of Mike Trout.
You think of Barry Bonds as the greatest player
I've ever seen?
Seriously?
That's the one thing.
Well, you're old enough to have seen a lot of players. I mean, and I say it with respect.
No, but me, I'll tell you, that's the one thing that Skip Bayless and I agree on. And Skip was actually working for the San Jose Mercury News at the time. So he saw Bonds every night. He said he went to the ballpark every night because he couldn't get enough. And he believes he's the greatest player. Now, Skip is older than I am and saw some even better players, you know, play and when I was a kid. So I have a lot of respect for his opinion on that, but I believe Bonds is. Mike Trout is a great player, more dominant than LeBron. Hard for me, considering that LeBron has won 3 championships and he has dominated. I'll give you the weak Eastern Conference and some of the other things that he piled up, you know, being with some other great players, but he's a great player.
But LeBron is the only guy that can truly affect the game in a manner in which he does. I mean, he literally can put 4 guys on his back.
No, I agree because it's a different game and it's less people. So, yes, one player in the NBA has more impact, Fred, than being one of 9 guys on a baseball team.
So that being said, it would be virtually impossible for Mike Trout to be more dominant because he does not have the impact on the game. You have to impact something to have that dominance.
If you don't have a good starting pitcher, the impact, no matter what you do in the outfield or hit, right, isn't as big as it could be, like in basketball.
So you look at LeBron James and Mike Trout, toss this in, individual sport nonetheless, most male dominant athlete of the generation. Wouldn't Tiger Woods be that guy? Wouldn't he be more dominant in his sport? Now, granted,
the last, how many years, Fred? 6, 8 years have been kind of crappy, would you say that?
Yeah, but he was so incredibly dominant over the first period of his career that it trumps the last part. I mean, he's the reason people would tune in to watch golf.
I told you.
He is the sport of golf.
When he won his first Masters, what was that, 1997 is when I got married, Fred. I'm in Japan with my new bride, and instead of rolling around in the hay, we're watching Tiger in Tokyo, you know, in our hotel, win the Masters. It was that mesmerizing and that unbelievable. probably why I'm not married now, but Fred, you know.
Tennis, you had Pete Sampras. Was it Pete Sampras not dominant in what he did? So I don't know if you can draw the parallel here that Mike Trout is the most male-dominant athlete of the generation. So today, and we'll sprinkle these in for BJ's, 866-987-2570, and I'll be curious to hear what the listeners have to say. Who is the most dominant male athlete of the generation? The report says Mike Trout, more dominant than LeBron James. You might come up with somebody from hockey. Cristiano Ronaldo in soccer. Maybe Lionel Messi in soccer. Who is the most dominant male athlete of the generation? So that would give you a chance to ponder this. And your best take, we'll get a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. Other big story today, the NCAA has come out with some new guidelines for college basketball. The story is breaking. We are working on it. But one thing we do know, athletes now will be able to hire agents even before they get to college. That's not going to be a violation anymore. According to the new statute, if you enter the NBA draft and you are not selected, you will be able to go back into college.
You don't lose your eligibility, which right. is what it should have always been. To me, unless you sign a contract and take money, you should have always still been eligible for college. I just never, you're in the draft, you don't get drafted. Why shouldn't you be able to go back to college? I could never figure that out. I thought they always tried to scare the kids. Like, if you're iffy, like, you better not. If you go into the draft and you don't get picked, you're not coming back here, so just go ahead and get out of here, which is ridiculous.
Well, and that's because the schools were awarding scholarships, and if they were going to lose somebody, they were going to offer that scholarship to somebody else.
Yeah, but the only thing is, even with the scholarship thing, Fred, you know and I know, when you get a scholarship at college, it's not for 4 years. They have to keep renewing it every year.
Well, you have to remain academically eligible.
Well, but everything, they could take your scholarship from you for any reason. They could take your scholarship. So I'm just saying,
if you're out behind the gym getting loaded every night, yeah, they can take your scholarship.
But my point is, I think people always thought if you got a 4-year ride, it was yours no matter what. It's just not the case.
For all intents and purposes, it is yours no matter what.
They could take it from you. Guys have had their scholarships taken.
Yeah, but for reasons, not just because
it's
Tuesday.
Yeah, because the guy ahead of you is better than you and you're not playing anymore.
That's not why they would yank them.
I don't think they can legally do that, by the way.
No,
I'm telling you.
Just for no reason. We don't like you. Like this player better. Your scholarship is going to him.
Hey, there have been guys who had scholarships taken from them. I'm just telling you, it's not 4 years guaranteed. It's a year-to-year renewal is what it is, Kev. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm just saying there has to be a legit reason.
Yeah, but
I can tell
you're not playing well enough or you're not working hard enough. Is that arbitrary or not?
Yeah, but I don't know if that's on the grounds of that. If you can...
That's arbitrary. If I'm the coach and I say, Fred, you're not working hard enough.
You're not, you know, we
you can't measure that.
Wait a minute. We've been tracking this, and you have not showed up for practice for 3 weeks. Okay.
That's legit.
I've been busy. I've been studying.
You're in practice, and you suck. Okay, that's different. I don't know if they can yank your scholarship because you didn't live up to the expectations. Because if that was the case, a lot of guys who end up staying 3 or 4 years would have their scholarships yanked off. I don't know if they can do that.
Yeah, I don't think they can do that either. I think, though, this does open up something very interesting. If an elite high school player, can sign with an agent before even entering college, I got to tell you, I think that opens up another can of worms.
Why?
Is the agent representing the player in college? And when you try to control the money, if you're a shrewd agent and you see a kid in high school and you think you can take this kid and make money with them, wouldn't you say, I'll give you 50 grand? Sign with me now, and I'm with you all the way through the process. So in essence, I believe, I mean, just reading it, that these kids could get paid.
But a lot of those guys already have street agents. You know that, Fred, of guys who are the ones who facilitate the whole way through and then hand them over to the agent.
Yeah, but that's where the funny money gets funneled around.
No, I know, right. They're just trying to cut out that street agent now.
The middleman's gone.
Exactly. And they know that this guy, if you're a potential star down the road, is going to be in dealings with people prior to that.
And that's the caveat, guys. You have to be designated as an elite athlete by USA Basketball, by the NCAA. You can't just be some regular guy from, you know, Crossroads High School who says, I want to join the NBA and I can get an agent.
Right.
It has to be designated elite players who it's well assumed they're going to try to jump to the NBA once they do away with their age limit. So it can't just be anybody that does it, because then it does open up Pandora's box.
Jason, what do you have?
With regards to having the scholarship ripped, I think, unfortunately, Rob is right on this one.
Thank you.
It says here in a Money Magazine article from a year ago, in addition to meeting GPA requirements and following university rules, the vast majority of Division I scholarships must be renewed annually, which means students who get injured, stop playing well, or simply don't fit into a coach's vision can have their funding dropped.
Absolutely.
After a year.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's not automatic on scholarships. I've talked to so many players who have been bounced because a coach comes in, they're not using, you know, utilizing what you do anymore, and all of a sudden another guy is there and he gets your scholarship.
Well, that's wrong.
You didn't know that.
No.
I know most people don't know that. They think that you, hey, you got a four-year ride at Arizona State.
If you maintain your GPA and you perform, you show up for practice, and you do what you're asked to do.
Fred, you know this. A new news director comes to KNBC and you fall out of favor. You're still doing the same work. You haven't seen any that haven't happened to anybody in the TV business?
No, but that's different because those people are being paid. College scholarships.
No, but I'm saying falling out of favor.
Well,
you know what I mean?
But in theory, they're still student athletes, not athlete students. And if you receive a scholarship, even to compete on the athletic level, you're still a student at school. And that should persevere. You shouldn't be able to just yank it because you don't like the guy anymore. I mean, if you break the rules, sure. But that's part of the deal. You have some responsibility here. All right. Our BJ's question today. Give us the most dominant male athlete of this generation. 866-987-2570. Frank in Brea Heights, go ahead.
Hi, yeah. Good afternoon, Fred and Rob. Parker, a big fan. I just want to say, I don't know why people are forgetting about Kobe Bryant. They're going to say, yeah, Shaq helped him out, but Kobe made a lot of those plays for Shaq. Got the biggest plays for him, and then Kobe went and won two on his own. I don't know why we forget about him. Yeah, LeBron, but he has only three. When he gets more than five, then we could talk about it. All right,
thanks. Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I don't think in the and thanks for the call. I don't think in the conversation of most dominant male athlete of the generation, looking at everything, Kobe would rank.
First of all, Fred, and you know this, Shaq was the most dominant player in the league the 3 years in a row that they won the championship. Shaq was. So how could Kobe be in that conversation? He wasn't the most dominant guy on his own team, let alone in the whole league. Come on now. I know people love Kobe, but he's not a dominant player in this conversation.
Denny and La Puente, go ahead.
Yes, I would say Julio Cesar Chavez. Over 100 wins, less than three. True, Mayweather's undefeated, but Chavez has more wins. Even though De La Hoya took him at the end, but you can't compete the numbers overall. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, Denny, and it's a valid point. We'll keep sneaking these calls in. Most dominant male athlete of the last generation. By the way, Arturo tweets, USC was the first school to guarantee your scholarship for 4 years. Been doing it for 3 or 4 years now.
All right, but they're the only one then. Or few of them, but the other ones don't guarantee it.
When we come back, Bill Plaschke will join us. Some thoughts on this new NCAA ruling. And poppycock. Fred Rogan, Rob Parker, AM 570 LA Sports. Rob Parker in for Rodney this week. Bill Plaschke will join us here in a couple of minutes. Give us the most dominant male athlete of this generation. That's the BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour question. Let's go, David in El Monte. You're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. To me, dominant means you cannot be beat when you're at your best. And I'm as great as LeBron is, as great as Mike Trout is. You know, they lose all the time. It's got to be Usain Bolt. The man lined him up for three Olympics in a row. He won every race until the very end of his career. So, to me, Usain Bolt is without question the most dominant male athlete.
Dale,
hey,
David, good call.
It's hard to argue with that.
It makes sense.
Right.
And, you know, it's funny, that didn't even enter my mind earlier.
No. We always, you know what, because they don't, you know, they don't play often enough for us to always think about track and field.
All right, let's go. Another David, this time in Downey. Go ahead.
Hey, Fred, how you doing, bud?
Good.
Good. I think probably the most male-dominated, if I can go back a little bit, if I can do all sports, I would say Wayne Gretzky in hockey, Michael Jordan in basketball, Joe Montana in football, Sandy Koufax in baseball, and as far as the most male-dominant broadcasting, Fred the Dean Rogan. I'm out.
Come on, man.
I'm the Dean.
No, I appreciate the call, David.
We already know that. Fred's been on the air for, what, 55 years? How many years has it been?
70.
70 years.
Right.
It's incredible.
And I stopped coloring my hair, so now I really look the way I look.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Evan in Long Beach, go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Just from Southern California, I got to make my pick for Kelly Slater, 11-time world champion surfer. He'd still be winning today if he were still dedicated to it. He's the best there ever was. He changed the sport. And thanks for your time. Bye.
Okay. Evan, thanks for the call. Let's bring out a man who will have some thoughts on this, and also poppycock. It's our good buddy from the Times, Bill Plaschke. Bill, thanks for jumping on.
What's going on, man?
All right, couple of things. This broke this morning. The NCAA rules and regulations now in college basketball, and they're allowing players to have agents, and if they entered the draft but aren't drafted, they're allowed to go back to school. Overall, it's a game changer. What do you think?
You know what? This is the very first blush. This all just broke down this morning. We're not sure whether ramifications of the details, but just at first blush, I think it's fine. I think the NCAA has long been proven that it doesn't really look out for the players' best interest. It doesn't pay the players. It doesn't, if they want to transfer, they got to sit out a year, or the coaches don't have to do that. You know, the players, this is a $1 billion industry, and the players not only have no money, they have no control. So, and they have no advocate. The player would be so naive to think in this day and age that the school and the head coach are looking out for just them, because they're looking out for the school and the head coach. They always are. I mean, this has been proven and time again. So if they have someone watching their back and someone speaking for them and someone interested, obviously it could get ugly if they you're going to bench my guy, he's going to transfer. If you do that, or if you don't play him, he's going to transfer, whatever. But I mean, I'm sure that's one of going to be one of the fallouts of this. And there's probably some monetary issues that, I'm not sure how this is going to work, because I know agents, as we all know, pay players, and that's kind of that's another part of it. But I just think the bottom line is the players have no one to stand up for them. They have no representation at all. And every NCAA rule is weighted toward the coach and toward the university and not toward the player, not toward the athlete himself. The only time they even refer to him as student athletes is like during the NCAA tournament. So I think it's fine. I mean, what if you have an agent comes in and says, hey, my kid hasn't been allowed to go to class for 3 days because he's practicing. He needs to go to class to graduate. Take care of that. Or, hey, my kid can't afford, his mom is sick and he can't afford to fly home. Take care of that. That sort of thing. I don't see anything wrong with that.
No, I don't either. I think overall, though, what you will have is, if these agents can hook up with these kids now when they're playing AAU ball or when they're 15 years old, and as you point out, you don't know if they're going to funnel them $10,000-$15,000 to sign with me, then they're committed with them all along. So I'm sure there's still going to be money exchanging hands, Bill. I just don't think it's going to come to the schools anymore.
No, yeah, but you know what? I don't have a problem. These coaches are making $8-9 million, $8 million. What does Coach K make? $6-7 million a year?
Yep.
Come on, this is what's the NCAA tournament get paid for TV rights? NCAA gets billions for the TV for the broadcast March Madness. And you've been there too, Fred. I've been in these locker rooms after these first and second round March Madness games in cold weather cities where some of these kids don't even have winter coats, for Pete's sake. So no, I got, you know what? Anything that will empower the unpaid amateur athlete whose teams and schools are making millions off of him or her, I think that's fine.
Yeah, I agree with you. Bill Plaschke with us on AM570 LA Sports. Okay, you talked about Mike Socia. First, the report, he'll step down at the end of the year. Then he said poppycock. I guess you dotted the exclamation point and said he's stepping down at the end of the year.
I love Poppy. Yeah, I love poppycock. Yeah, no, he is. We've learned he's going to be, he could announce it as soon as mid-September or something. And that's, I think that's a good thing for everyone. I think, he's ready to go. I think they're probably ready for a change. And I wrote the column today's LA Times. I just want people not to forget what an impact, a great impact he had down there. People are going to say, well, they missed the playoffs 8 of the last 9 years or whatever. But, he changed the culture down there. and they were always competitive, right, Fred? And you've been there before when Angels were just a footnote, and he made them for several years one of the marquee teams in baseball, right? And he put them on the national map, and they struggled to stay there, but they have been put there, and I give him full props. I think he'll be. He doesn't want the attention. That's why he says poppycock, which, again, a perfect word, right, for Socher to say poppycock. It's hilarious that he would use that verbiage.
Or he could have gone with balderdash or something like that.
Balderdash or kerfluffle. Why is this such a big kerfluffle or kerfuffle? But yeah, you're right. Balderdash would have been another great Socher word. You're right. And so the poppycock dominated conversation. But it's no poppycock that he's had. I think he's been the most impactful Angel to wear a uniform. Obviously, Gene Autry didn't wear a uniform, but he's been the most impactful Angel in the history of that franchise to wear an Angel uniform.
You're being kind, Bill. You're being kind, and I think you're being accurate. And unfortunately, I don't think most people will remember his managerial stint that way.
Well, it's sad if they don't, and that's what I tried to write about today. It's sad if they don't remember, and that was the last World Series. Everybody talks about, Southern California's been without a World Series championship for 30 years. No. They won in 2002, and they captivated this city for a month or so, right? It was credible. People can't forget that. Let me ask you this. Who was the manager before Socher took over? And was anybody clamoring for anything with Angels back then? Who was their man? In fact, I'll ask you, Fred, do you remember this? Who the manager was before Socher took over?
You know who I remember? Gene Mauch. That's how far back I go. I have no idea who it was.
I know, and you're not alone. It was Terry Collins.
Okay.
But you're not alone. You are not alone. Nobody. So – think about the furor now over his. This would not have been there before he took over because the Angels were just a footnote. So he's changed the whole way we look at them.
You know, Billy,
and how they're held accountable.
But you said, he wanted to go and maybe they thought it was time. Really, which one was it? I'm sure that he would have stayed. He loves the game. Do you think they gave him a little push and said, Mike, it's time?
No, you know what? I think he's smart, and that's what everybody who plays for him says. He's the smartest manager they ever played for. He's a really smart guy, and I think before they had a chance to say anything, he said his piece. I think that's the way I think it came down. So we don't know what they would have done, and I don't think he wanted to or anybody wanted to let it get that far. You know what I'm saying? So it's almost like, you know what? And he's going to be 60, and he wants to travel a little bit. I know that. And he wants to relax with his family a little bit. And he's been through the rigors, ever since he was 19 years old. So I think, I don't know this for a fact, but my guess is that he made a decision and took it out of their hands. He didn't want to leave it. He didn't want his future to be in anybody else's hands. He didn't want to put it to a test. So he said, you know what? He raised his hand first and said, you know what? I'm ready to go. And they said, well, okay, if that's what you want.
All right, so basically he let him out of town before they pushed him out of town.
I don't know that they pushed before anybody knew what they would do. I don't know what they would do.
I got you.
That's fair, right? Because we don't know what they would do. I mean, yes, obviously you would think, given his record, you would think they would want to change. But we don't know that, and it's never going to probably get to that.
20 years with the Angels, and I should know this. I don't know if you know it off the top of your head. How many years was Walter Alston with the Dodgers? And I can't remember.
Walter Alston is the only manager, that's a very good point to bring up. He's the only manager in history of baseball to win more games with one franchise than Socher.
Right.
So Alston, I'm not sure of the numbers exactly, but he was there longer than Socher was. But he's the only one in baseball who won more games with their team than he was. And, of course, the big stat to me is still, and we discussed this on the air, Socher has won 25 more games than Lasorda. That's an amazing stat, right? That's an amazing statistic.
Yeah, and
all of Tommy's hoopla and everything.
Yeah, and you know what? If Socher had been managing the Dodgers, it would have been far better known and more applauded. But he went to Anaheim. You're right. He changed the culture down there.
He was a castoff. Don't forget, it's the Dodgers. People around the Dodgers will say the two biggest mistakes they have made since coming to Los Angeles in 1958 were Mike and Mike. Getting rid of Mike Piazza and getting rid of Mike Socher. Two biggest mistakes they made. They got rid of Socher. He didn't leave there. Don't mistake that.
Right.
We're talking about now whether he's leaving the Angels or getting pushed out. There ain't no mistake. He was pushed out of the Dodgers. He was shoved away from there. He was a cast off there. Kevin Malone didn't understand him, didn't understand the way he worked, didn't think he was a good fit. Huge mistake. He was hired. Remember, he was hired by the Angels like a month later.
And
we're all down in
their minor league system, right?
No. He was managing the Dodgers AAA team in Albuquerque.
That's it.
He quit in September, because they're going to push him out. And then 2 months later, I remember standing next to you at a press conference in Anaheim where he's an Angel manager out of nowhere. Remember, right. It was literally out of nowhere.
Right.
We couldn't believe he got hired. So the Dodgers, what a big mistake the Dodgers made in getting rid of him. And I always think for the longest time, a part of him wanted to still be a Dodger. You know what I mean? A part of him really missed that, and the Dodgers missed that. But I think as time went on, he's becoming a full-blown Angel. They ought to retire his number, right? I mean, wouldn't you think they retire his number?
Of course,
they got to retire his number. I think they ought to build a statue for him, but they probably won't. But they ought to. I mean, I know. I mean, I realize you think that I'm overstating his impact.
No, I think
but
you're
I'm telling
being
you,
fair.
He changed everything. He changed everything down there.
No, we
care about him. Now, we still don't care about him as much as we do the Dodgers, not even close, but at least we care about him a little bit.
That's a good way to put it. All right, Bill.
It's
thanks.
True, right? Is it true? That's true, right? Yeah.
Thanks for jumping on, man. I appreciate it.
All right. See you, man.
All right. Take care, Bill. There he goes, our buddy Bill Plaschke of the Times. Now it's time to determine who the smartest person in the room is.
Is it real?
They're real, and they're spectacular.
Or fake news?
Fake.
Joining us today to compete in Real or Fake, a return appearance by Nina. Nina, thank you for being here. Say it again.
Wait a minute.
Use
the other
this
mic.
Microphone right here.
Right there, Nina.
Yeah, just slide that one over.
There we go. Thanks for having me.
All right, for the third time, and it's good to have you here, Real or Fake is brought to you by the man who was all too real. And all too shrewd and all too smart. The man for any of your personal injury matters. Are you calling Joseph S. Narmond, 866-777-0677? Free consultation. You don't pay unless you win. Joseph is the man, and he answers the phone. Somebody tweeted me the other day. What is this segment? Joseph S. Narmond? Or is it real or fake? No, it's all too real. When it comes to personal injury attorney, Joseph S. Narmond.
And Nina?
Yes.
Say hello to your sisters, Pinta and Santa Maria,
oh
right?
My God.
Is that it? Sorry about that.
That's like the most original joke I've heard about my
name. Is that right?
Wow. I've never heard it before. Oh my goodness.
Why would you even say that? What would possess you?
I just couldn't help it. I'm sorry.
New Dodger reliever is an expert Oscars prognosticator. New Dodger John Axford is a big movie buff, and he's had a spot-on Oscar predictions. In a piece in the LA Daily News today, he claims he correctly picked all 18 winners in 2014. This year, he correctly picked 18 of the 24 winners. I don't know what happened between 2014 and this year. But nonetheless, he says he's the man and he can do it. Rob, did he really say that? Is it real or fake?
He said he picked all 18?
He said he picked 18 correct in 2014, 18 of 24 this year.
That sounds highly. I just can't. I've watched all the coverage. A lot of people can't get those things right. I can't believe he's that good at it. I'm going to say it's fake.
Nina.
I'm going to go with real. People can be kind of arrogant sometimes. Why not?
All right. Well, arrogance wins. It's real,
boy. How can you get 18? I've seen the film critics. They can't get it. That's ridiculous.
You know what's sad?
What's that?
We've had one question, and you're already done.
I'm already behind.
We've had one question.
Nina, you just got to understand, I'm just not good. Okay?
And Nina is a very worthy competitor in this. She's been with us.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Never lost.
But I did. Didn't I tie yesterday?
You did, so you
I
didn't
came
lose.
Back. I didn't lose, okay.
But you didn't win. Rajon Rondo says he expects to compete with Lonzo Ball for the starting position. TMZ reporters caught up with Rajon Rondo at LAX this weekend. When asked about coming off the bench for the Lakers, backing up Lonzo Ball, he said, "I've always been a starter. I'm prepared to battle for that spot." Nina, did Rajon Rondo say that?
From the little knowledge I know about him, I'll just go with yes, real.
You're saying it's real. Rob?
I think it's fake. I think he was trying to be diplomatic and say something more about it's okay. He's here to help Lonzo and not that he wants to be a starter.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
You're back in it.
Thank you.
You know, Nina, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Let's say you're at LAX, because that's where the TMZ cameras caught up with Rajon Rondo.
I was just at LAX.
Okay. And you know how dangerous it is and the traffic comes flying by.
Yep.
Let's say you're in a crosswalk and it's time for you to walk, but somebody doesn't stop and they clip you with their car. Is that your fault?
No, it's not my fault.
Of course it's not your fault. It's their fault, isn't it?
It is.
You did nothing wrong.
So you need help, right?
You need to call one man. Joseph S. Normand. 866-777-0677. Police chief overdosed on drugs stolen from the evidence room. An Ohio police chief died from an accidental overdose after the drugs were removed from his department's evidence room. Reynoldsburg Police Department Lieutenant Ron Wright, whose department is still investigating, told media that packaging was discovered that indicated that he was taking controlled substances from the evidence room. Did the chief OD on the drugs? Rob, is that real or fake?
That's real. I could believe that story. You know, it's all sitting there like in the candy store, and you just help yourself to it. I could see where that could happen.
The police chief.
Yes, even the police chief.
Nina, is that real or fake?
I would also say real. It's a juicy story.
Juicy indeed.
Oh, yeah. I definitely could see that.
Let me ask you something. What if you were the police chief? You stole those drugs, and you OD'd. Is that your fault?
If you OD'd, yeah, it's your fault.
It's your fault.
You took too much.
Do not call Joseph S. Normand. The only time you should not call is Joseph S. Normand.
If you don't OD.
If you don't OD, if you steal drugs and OD, do not call Joseph S. Normand. That is your fault. Braves broadcaster Joe Simpson will resign after this season. After another controversial outing during the Braves-Nationals game yesterday, Joe Simpson doubting Nationals rookie Juan Soto's age. The Braves have released a statement that Joe Simpson has decided to retire. Nina, is that real or fake?
I have no clue what any of these people. I'm just going to say fake because I haven't said fake yet.
Okay. I'm going to say real because he ripped the Dodgers about their what they wore for batting practice, right? Recently.
Yeah.
And he says all the crazy stuff. And when you start talking about somebody's age and you don't know, you put yourself out there. I'm going to say it's real.
No, it's fake.
It's all fake news. Man. It's phony stuff.
Nina, you have the lead. You have the lead.
That was a good guess.
That was a good guess.
WNBA forfeits game because of travel delays. The WNBA's Las Vegas Aces had to forfeit a game against the Washington Mystics because of a series of flight delays and a cancellation. The Aces ended up landing in D.C. after 26 hours of travel. They said they were exhausted and not ready to play. The WNBA considered rescheduling the game, but then decided to forfeit the game. A professional team forfeiting because they're tired. Rob, is that real or fake?
That is real. It's just weird that they would not reschedule it, but they don't want to set a precedent and allow other teams to do that with the travel schedule. You're a professional. You got to do whatever you got to do to play the game. The show must go on.
Right, but you're saying it's real.
It's real.
Nina.
I would say fake because the show must go on. Like, you should just play.
You should, but they didn't.
Mm. It's real, boy. It's real. It's real, boy. Back to time.
It's tied up.
Last question. Good luck. Nina goes first. So, Nina, you can win, lose, or tie.
Yeah.
How about lose? I'm sorry.
It all rests here.
Oh, good. This is good. One of my favorites, The Weeknd and Bruno Mars get into an argument in Chicago. Headliners of Lollapalooza, The Weeknd, and Bruno Mars were seen getting into a verbal argument on a video posted on Twitter after The Weeknd called Bruno Mars Little Man. Nina, did he call him Little Man?
Wow.
Did they have an argument? Is it real or fake?
I was actually there, so I feel like I should know, but oh God. I'm going to go with real.
You're going to say real for the win. Rob.
I'm going to go fake. You don't have to call the guy a little man. He's already got a complex. He's got his hand in his jacket pocket or like Napoleon Bonaparte. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to say it's fake.
Nina? You lost.
It's all fake news.
Yeah!
It's phony stuff.
What a comeback. I'm the comeback kid. I told you, Nina. So get on your boat and sail back to Italy or wherever they came from.
That's not the right country.
No, where did they come from? Spain. Go back to Spain. Is that where it was?
I still don't think that's right either.
Where did it come from?
I'm pretty sure it was England.
Was it England?
I think so.
Nina knows.
Nina, are you sure?
I mean, I'm not 100% positive, but if that was real or fake and you said Spain, I would say that's fake.
No, it's got to be. It was Spain or some.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
Jason, Christopher Columbus sailed from where?
Sailed the ocean blue.
Right.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was either Italy or Spain.
I really don't think so.
Jason. We are efforting that to do a historical check. We'll have it for you soon.
Come on. What? You're telling me England? Christopher Columbus did not come from England.
He was Spanish, right?
Yes, from Spain.
I think he was Spanish, but like I feel like they still didn't come from Spain.
No, from Spain. España.
We'll see.
We're
just as lost as Christopher Columbus was, so it's all good. Don't worry about it.
What? Nobody knows what country he came from?
Well, you don't. What are you yelling at everybody else for?
He doesn't know what country he landed on, so it's all good.
Your first guess was Italy.
I said Spain.
You said Spain after you said Italy, which is completely false.
Spain or Italy, but I know it's not.
It's Spain or Italy.
But I know it's not England.
It could have been Greece or like somewhere in Africa. It could have been anywhere, really.
Pretty sure Columbus was from Africa.
You're right, Nina.
If Christopher Columbus was from Africa, that would be news to me.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, we'll find that out. Jason's working on it, and apparently it's so hard to find.
Oh, wait a minute. I just found Christopher Columbus's middle name is Josephus, so yeah, maybe he is from Africa.
Jesus Christ. Come on, man.
Christopher Columbus returned to Spain with Nina and the Pinta.
What? With the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria.
He returned to Spain from where, though?
From the West Indies. He never made it to the United States.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, he just actually went down along Europe and was like, this is America.
There you go.
Wasn't Paul Revere and the Pilgrims involved in this too?
That's why I was saying.
Am I just getting my history confused?
No, you got your history mixed up. Yeah, totally. You guys don't know what you're doing. You get an F in history. Get off the show.
I'm not taking history anymore, honestly, so that's fine by me.
If you or a loved one have been in an accident or experienced a personal injury matter, time is not on your side. Calling the law offices of Joseph S. Normand immediately after your accident, the most important thing you can do. Accident victims receive nearly 3 times larger settlements when they have legal representation after an accident. There is one man to call. Slip and fall accident, $500,000. Auto accident, $7 million. Motorcycle accident, $1.2 million. Call Joseph S. Normand. Do not call your loved ones. Do not call your family. Do not call your friends. Do not call the insurance company. Call Joseph S. Normand. If something bad happens to you, 866-777-0677. 866-777-0677. Schedule your free consultation. No obligation, no recovery, no fee. No upfront fees. You only pay if they win the case. And if you want a second opinion on your current case, Joseph will be happy to help. He will be here tomorrow. 866-777-0677. When we come back, it is time to celebrate. The Lakers are in the primetime Christmas night game, which Rob doesn't like. Fred Rogan and Rob Parker on AM 570 LA Sports. Appreciate that. Rob Parker in for Rodney this week. So the NBA schedule will be released this afternoon.
Can I just say something real quick?
Please.
Christopher Columbus was Italian but sailed for Spain, so I was right in the ballpark. What did I say, Fred? I said that he was Italian.
I didn't listen to what
you
said.
Okay, all right.
But Arturo and Robert Dennis both tweeted and said that he sailed from Spain.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I was listening to Nina. I don't know why I believed her over you. Probably a bad call. But
yep.
She's currently in school, so I thought she would know.
She should know. You know what? They should take away that school's accreditation.
That's right. They should take away one of their top students. They should remove the accreditation because she thought he sailed from England.
I was telling Jason off the air, some history teacher listening to the show just crashed his car on the freeway listening to that last segment.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, you're not listening to it. This is an NPR. This is sports radio. All right. So anyway, the NBA will release its schedule at 2 o'clock this afternoon. But we've got a little taste of what's coming up on Christmas night. And, you know, that is really when the NBA season in the minds of the country tips off.
A lot of people believe that, right?
Yeah, that Christmas Day game is when the season tips off. And if you've got the prime spot, you are considered one of the biggest draws and one of the top teams in the NBA. And the Lakers not only will play on Christmas Day, but they will play in the primetime game against the Golden State Warriors. And by the way, if you care, in Vegas, they've opened as 10.5-point underdogs for the Christmas night primetime game.
That tells you that they shouldn't be on that game. That should be for a prime slot against two really good teams. Why are they a 10.5-point underdog and they're playing in that game? You might as well put the Brooklyn Nets on. What's the difference?
Oh, no. The Nets would be more of an underdog. And by the way, they're an underdog because they're on the road. They're playing at Golden State.
And these are odds released in August for a Christmas game.
But they don't know who's playing, right?
They haven't had preseason yet. They haven't opened training camp. How crazy is that?
You know, I'll take...
Would you put some money down on that way before, just hoping that...
Yeah, I don't think they'll lose by 10.5.
No?
No. I think they'll be fine. And you're saying, why would they be there? Because they are one of the biggest draws in the league.
But,
why?
But
why?
Wait a minute.
Wait, but why? Why are they, Rob?
Why? They didn't make the playoffs the last 5 years.
It is irrelevant. It means nothing. The only thing that matters is they now possess the best player in the game. That's it. People will be very curious to watch that game. See how LeBron fares against the Warriors. See how these young Lakers are coming along at that point in the season. It makes complete and total sense to me. And I think I said yesterday they would be in the primetime game. Did I not mention that yesterday?
You did mention that.
All right.
We'll give you some credit for that.
Thank you. I'll take a little.
By the way, if LeBron played for the Brooklyn Nets, Rob, they'd be on Christmas Day too.
You think so?
Oh, definitely.
No,
without
you're
question.
Right. I get it. You know, I think it's all premature. That's all. But we'll wait and see. I get it. LeBron, I don't know what people say if things don't go as well or what they expect. I just think that people have him in the top two or three in the Western. I just don't see any of that. I really think this is so all premature, and people will be disappointed ultimately that they're not that team that people think they're going to be.
Well, no. I don't know what team they think they're going to be, but I know this. They're going to be a good team. They're not going to win the NBA title this year, but they're going to be a very good team. They're going to make things interesting. They're going to be exciting.
So you still have them as one of the top four teams in the Western Conference.
Absolutely.
And we got a bet on that, right?
Yes, we do.
Yes. Okay.
Just like we have a bet that they'll win a title
in
within the four years.
Right. And that's for 200 wings? What do we get?
That was 600.
600. 600 wings.
That was the bet.
There won't be a chicken this side of the Pasadena. 600 wings if I'm getting them. And Fred, I want you all flat Parmesan garlic delivered to my apartment.
Okay, I wouldn't worry about it.
All of them?
I wouldn't be looking forward to seeing them.
You know what?
I'm going to win the bet.
There's probably not enough room for in my apartment with all those wings.
You got to take that to a homeless shelter. That's got to be a caveat here, guys.
He'll take 25. Drop him off there.
Drop him off, right.
Not a problem. He's magnanimous. He's generous.
When I won the 300 from Shannon on a bet, I had him delivered to FS1, and I shared him with the staff.
How many did you eat?
I only ate about
70.
10 or 12. No, I didn't. I let everybody else share it. Come on, I'm not going to be a pig. 300 wings. It was nice, though, when he paid for them. I loved it.
Here's the thing. So you're saying they shouldn't be in the game. Look, Laker fans, some are upset because they're thinking, yeah, they should be in the game, but the game should be here. This is where they should play the game. There's no bigger place to play the biggest game of the day than Los Angeles.
But the only problem is you're not making the champs not be at home on
That's
Christmas
exactly
Day.
Right.
You know that the Warriors would be furious if you told them they had to be on the road to defending champs on Christmas Day.
That's exactly why the
Am
game.
Am I right?
Yeah, but that tells you, again, the Warriors are the best team in the league. The Lakers have the best player in the game. The Lakers deserve to be in that game, regardless of what their record is. And I'll add this. When you get to December, Laker fans, and if you're going, wow, this seems a little slow, or these guys aren't gelling, or it's not what I thought it would be, simmer down. LeBron James teams oftentimes start slowly. When you get to December and then cross into January, that's when everybody flips that switch. They will have been together for a few months, know each other, and then you will start to see how good this Laker team will be. It's their coming out party. Now when I think about it.
So that's the Christmas Day, is that? So when they lose by 15 in national television on Christmas Day, that's when you say, oh, they're here. They've arrived.
First, they're not going to lose by 15, but that's when they will be christened. I don't care what night they tip off the season. Christmas night is when that team will be christened.
And you'll look and say, this is one of the top four teams in the Western Conference. They're going to make a real run. They might get to the Western Conference Finals. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying they will get to the second round of the playoffs. That's what I'm saying.
So they won't get knocked out in the first round.
No, they will not. They will win their first round playoff matchup, no matter who they play, because they're not going to be the eighth seed.
They might be the sixth seed. They'll be on the road. Did you see LeBron struggle last year with Oladipo and the Pacers? Took them 7 games to get that done.
Did they get it done?
Well, they got it done. Then they had to play Boston. Boston was missing 2 of their big stars. They struggled in that series for seven games.
But they were better without their big stars, as it turned out.
That's in a easier conference.
Against elite competition. Okay, Boston would do very well in the West. So would Philadelphia. So you can't sit here and say it's the East. No, in the playoffs, Boston's one of the best teams in the league. They would compete in the West. Philadelphia would compete in the West.
I tell you that the Cavaliers team that LeBron just left is better than this Laker team right now.
You keep saying that, Rob. How is that true?
That's not even remotely close.
What do you mean
Kyle
it's not
Korver
true?
They've got one guy that doesn't even know what the score is.
They just signed 8 one-year contracts of guys who are going to be selfish looking for their next payday. That doesn't always work.
Just look at the young core, Rob, of the guys they have now. Kuzma, Ingram. Is Kyle Korver better than those guys? Is J.R. Smith at this point in his career better than those guys are?
But you left out a couple of young guys that I see you.
Hart?
You didn't mention.
Josh Hart, okay, he's one guy I left out.
Who else?
Who can play?
Right. This is not even talking about Lonzo Ball.
Oh,
I know
okay.
who you're going for.
Right.
Now, we're not mentioning him.
You didn't even mention him.
Well, because the jury's out.
Magic said he was the face of the franchise. That was last year, don't you remember?
He may have to do an about face now.
Is that what?
He may have to.
Oh, he said that number 2 will be in the Raptors one day, and that's going to be Kawhi Leonard.
Is that Kawhi? Yeah. Okay.
Jason, who won BJ's today?
Well, we had this discussion. Who is the most dominant male sports athlete of the generation? And Denny and La Puente went with a different angle here.
Yes, I would say Julio Cesar Chavez. Over 100 wins, less than 3. True, Mayweather's undefeated, but Chavez has more wins. Even though De La Hoya took him at the end, but you just can't compete the numbers overall. Thanks a lot.
Way to go, Denny. You've done it. You won a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. Wherever you are and whatever you do, there is a BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse near you. Coming up next hour, more on Aaron Donald. We hear they're getting closer. We'll go to Baltimore and talk to Vinny Bonsignor and see if the Rams are about to sign their star defensive lineman. Also, the Dodgers wrap things up in Oakland. They win last night. The Bishop had a great outing. Alana Rizzo will join us. It's Fred Rogan and Rob Parker on AM 570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan and Rob Parker sitting in for Rodney today on AM 570 LA Sports. Kevin, what do we have coming up at 1:30?
Guys, Aaron Rodgers might have the solution to Aaron Donald's holdout.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully his holdout won't end before Aaron Rodgers gets to offer that solution. We'll join Vinny in the next segment and see where that's at. We understand they're getting closer. That's all we know. They're getting closer. Nice win for the Dodgers last night. Every game counts. They had not won in Oakland.
Yeah, on the road against the hottest team in baseball. That's really a good win.
They had not won in Oakland in years. The Bishop looked good on the hill. They're back at it again tonight. It's a quick 2-game trip up there. Let's bring on Alana Rizzo, who was all over it. Alana, thanks for jumping on.
My pleasure. Hello.
Hey, how about that performance by the Bishop last night, Rich Hill?
It was a good performance. He got into a little bit of trouble there in the 5th and 6th inning. Chris Davis, obviously a very good hitter already with 32 home runs on the year. But Rich Hill's performed very well since coming off the disabled list. I asked him after the game if he thought that Chris Davis was kind of sitting on a curveball there, and that's why he elected to go with the fastball. And, you know, he didn't necessarily like that pitch, but he didn't like the walks even more. But he gave this team a chance to win. He left with a lead, and give credit where credit is due as well to the Dodgers bullpen that continue to perform very well, and give credit to the offense as far as being able to manufacture some runs in the early innings, 1 run the first 3 innings of the game, and then Matt Kemp with some insurance there in the later innings.
I know if we would have said before the season that this would be a big series with the Oakland A's at Dodger Stadium, right?
In Oakland.
In Oakland, I mean. People would have laughed it off, but for them to go out there and beat this team, this is one of the hottest team in baseball, the Athletics. This is a good win for the Dodgers.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because you look at the Athletics and it's a young, very gritty team. Obviously, everybody always wants to talk about the payroll when it comes to the Dodgers because they have one of the highest in the league, but they also want to talk about it on the other end too with Oakland. They have one of the lowest payrolls in the league, but it's a very young, gritty team. I mean, I think anything barring a miracle, I think Bob Melvin is the American League Manager of the Year if they continue to do this. And I think the Athletics are a team that are used to coming from behind. I mean, before the game yesterday, this was a team that had won 6 in a row. They had won 7 of their last 10 games. And a lot of those have been come from behind wins. So they don't get nervous when they get down as far as the score is concerned. And it was a very good win for the Dodgers. I mean, this is a team that could very well, you know, continue to push for that postseason. They're still 6 games behind the Houston Astros at this point in the American League West. But it's a very good club. So the Dodgers coming into Oakland and getting the first one, an opportunity to sweep a very short 2-game series, is always a good measuring stick for a team that, again, is trying to go to the postseason for the 6th straight year.
Alana Rizzo, our insider with us on AM 570 LA Sports. So did Matt Kemp buy everybody dinner last night after we finally got a hit?
It was funny. You know, we were talking about it on the broadcast after he broke out of that 1-for-37 slump when he got to first base and celebrated as if, you know, it was the biggest hit of his career. But, you know, he hasn't been mired in a slump like that all season long. And give him credit, it took him until August to get into a slump like that. And I certainly think that Matt Kemp was relieved. But the thing about Matt Kemp is that he hasn't changed his approach at all. He's not changing the way that, you know, he's standing in the batter's box. He's not changing his stance. He's still getting a walk, which is something that they wanted him to concentrate more on. And it's so hard in this game to continue to trust the process. You hear that cliche so much, but it's so hard to continue to do that when you're not getting the results. And hopefully that base hit and insurance run yesterday is a sign of good things to come for Matt offensively.
What about Brian Dozier? What is the plan moving forward? Is he going to play every day? They're going to rest him once in a while. What are they going to do with him?
I think the thing with Brian Dozier is that so far he's had a tremendously strong start in a Dodgers uniform. And the last couple of years, he has really trended upwards as far as offense the second half of the season. So this is a guy that gets hot in the second half of the season, and he's proven that already in a Dodgers uniform. He's going to probably play second base every single day. Of course, they're going to give him a couple of days off here and there because they just have so many guys that need playing time. I mean, they have so many guys that can play different positions that he'll usually be in there against a left-hander, but he's also going to see some time against right-handers as well. Against left-handers, you'll primarily see him in the leadoff spot. Against right-handers, expected him to be further down in the order, probably in the 5th or 6th spot. But I would imagine Brian Dozier is going to get the bulk of the playing time at second base moving forward.
Yeah, and you have to remember that a couple of years ago, that was the guy the Dodgers wanted. It took them a while, but they finally got the guy. And obviously, they knew what they were talking about.
No question about it. And he has been in trade talks with this team for a couple of years. But at the time, the Minnesota Twins were asking for too much as far as prospects that the Dodgers were not willing to give up. And give the front office a little bit of credit here as far as the acquisition of Brian Dozier, who is going to be a free agent at the end of the year. So is he going to be a rental just for the rest of this season, or are they going to see him in a Dodgers uniform moving forward? But they didn't have to give up the highly touted prospects that they were going to have to give up 2 years ago. So they still get their guy, albeit a couple of years later. But if he can help them get to the postseason and get, you know, ultimately win the series championship, which is the ultimate goal for this team at this point, then certainly the 2 years were worth the wait, and they didn't have to give up as much to get him.
As we go forward, you know, when the Dodgers got Machado, most people thought, okay, they're the team to beat in the West. They're not running away with anything. It looks like there's going to be a Arizona sticking around. You know, there's going to be a struggle, a fight to the end. Mm-hmm. How does this team feel to you compared to last year? I mean, I really thought they were going to make the World Series a year ago. I'm not so sure now, even with the moves, which I like. How does this team feel to you at this point?
Well, I don't know that the wild card is going to come out of the National League West this year. I think the way that the division is that it's a little bit of a weaker division this year than it was last year. So I think you have to win your division in order to be able to get into the postseason. I don't know that the wild card spots are coming out of the West. So that being said, you have a lot of incentive to win your division. I mean, this was a team last year
that rattled off 104 regular season wins. That's not going to be the case this year for anybody in the National League West. I think Colorado sticks around, but I honestly don't think Colorado has the pitching to sustain. I definitely think Arizona sticks around as well. So I do think it's going to be a battle, to your point. I think it's going to be a three-horse race to the end of this thing. It doesn't seem like anybody is pulling away at this point. They're all, you know, the three of those teams at the top are neck and neck. I believe Colorado is 2.5 games out of first. So the Dodgers back in first place right now ahead of Arizona. So I don't think that it's going to be as much of a definitive, absolutely, this team is going this year. I think they have to win the West, but I do think they'll win the West. I think eventually they will pull away enough, and it's going to be a very interesting September. I will say that. I think the Dodgers win the West. I think they go to the postseason, but I don't think it's going to be an absolute runaway.
You know, one final question before we let you go, and winning the West, winning September, Julio Urias. Now, Dave Roberts says that he should be ready to go and in the bullpen later this month?
Absolutely. They do expect him to be back. He's already been throwing to hitters. He's already been participating in some real Arizona, you know, not summer league, but Arizona fall league games, that type of stuff, with facing live hitters, that type of situation. So he's touching 93 miles an hour on that fastball. The calendar is against them as far as having Julio Urias as a starter. So what they're thinking is that he's going to be back either by the end of this month or a little bit at the beginning of September. Obviously, after September call-ups, anybody can come up. But they're going to see him as a bullpen piece to probably give them about three innings at a time. Eventually, though, they see him absolutely as a starter. So 2019 and moving forward, Julio Urias will be a starter in this rotation, but because of the timeline and the calendar, he's coming out of the bullpen in probably about 3 to 4 weeks.
All right, Clayton Kershaw on the Hill tonight for the Dodgers. Alana, thanks so much for jumping on.
You're welcome, guys. Have a good day.
You too. There she goes, Alana Rizzo, up with the Dodgers in Oakland. News now, at least we believe, on Aaron Donald and the Rams, the top defensive player in the league, the man Rob Parker says they have to win the Super Bowl. We'll go to Baltimore. Vinny is standing by, and he'll have the latest next. It's Fred Rogan and Rob Parker on AM 570 LA Sports. And Rob Parker sitting in for Rodney this week. Okay, this just in. Now, we told you that the Lakers will be in the primetime game on Christmas.
Yes.
LeBron James and the Lakers against Golden State. Hey, don't kick the Clippers to the curb. Don't you dare do that. They got a pretty peachy spot here too, Rob.
This is the home of the Clippers.
Yeah, and they're gonna host Chris Paul and the Rockets to kick off the national TV schedule. So there you go. In case you care. But there you go.
So should I set my...
put an alert on your phone.
Alert on my phone. Not circle my calendar, but put an alert or a reminder or something. Is that what you call it?
Yeah, I'm sorry. They're going to wrap up the first week of national coverage against Houston. They're not going to tip it off, right?
So that news just got a little less interesting.
Yeah.
So they're playing Carmelo Anthony and Chris Paul, right? It's this time of year every year where sports producers around the country get a chance to kill time talking about the NBA schedule. And there's a phrase that's often used. Circle this one on your calendar.
Yes.
Nobody's circling anything on any calendars anymore.
You have a calendar at your house?
Nobody has a hard calendar and nobody's circling dates.
I used to have one up, but I don't have a calendar anymore.
Let me rephrase. No one born after the year 1975 has a calendar.
My mom has a calendar and still writes dates on hers.
Does she?
She does still do it.
Is it in the kitchen hanging up?
It is. She has two of them.
See? Yeah. And she got it from the supermarket at the end of the year.
Or those free ones they mail to you after you donate some places.
Oh, yeah.
Those still come in.
I get those for the... you know, the little address things they stick for your envelopes, you know.
We all have way too many of those.
You right? know, right, exactly.
Well, now that I see this.
Oh, sorry, Fred.
Now that I see this, yeah, you want to circle that date, October 21st. It's the end of the first week of play. That's their national TV appearance. The Lakers are on that Thursday.
And it's on NBA TV? Is that what we're talking about, an NBA TV game?
Is that where it is?
It's on the four-letter, I believe.
Yeah, no. NBA TV.
Oh. Okay, the Lakers are definitely on the four-letter. I know that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's their home opener, I believe. They're going to be playing Houston as well.
Well, no, the Lakers, according to this, play Thursday, and they're on NBA TV against Portland. That's what I'm seeing here. They play Thursday against Portland.
No, I see. You're right. No, that's TNT. Fred, that's TNT.
Now, it's odd because TNT and NBA TV have a partnership, so.
Oh, no, the Clippers are just on NBA TV.
Exactly.
They're not even on TNT.
Ouch.
But nonetheless, they're there.
Still national TV.
So Clipper fans rejoice.
Exactly. No, no, right.
I don't want to hear people say you don't talk about the Clippers. They made it. They're in opening week.
This is my question. Which segment went better today? This one or the Christopher Columbus segment?
I want you to know I was right in both cases. I said that he was Italian, and I said that he went left from Spain.
I don't want to go back into that.
I'm sorry.
You also said he landed in North Africa, though.
Yeah, I said. And what I say his middle name was Josephus.
Yeah, something.
That's a bit of an issue as well.
Okay.
All right, let's find out what's going on with Aaron Donald. Is he signed yet? Is he close? Let's get out to Baltimore and Vinny Bonsignor. Hey, Vinny.
Absolutely.
All right. Are you surprised? No Aaron Donald?
Not surprised that he didn't come, at the August 7th deadline. In fact, I got to say that the Rams have said this without really saying this, but they're perfectly fine with him staying out of harm's way during training camp. There's really no need for him to be here. He missed all of last year, still came back, and won the NFL Defensive Player of the Year award. They're perfectly fine with him being in Pittsburgh, staying out of harm's way while they plug away at figuring out a new contract. And, you know, just spoke to Les Snead here in Baltimore, and he indicated that the Rams and Aaron Donald are in the same zip code, area code, and ballpark when it comes to the new deal. So, you know, and then we said, well, does that mean it's close? He goes, when you're talking about zip codes, you're talking about close. So it looks like there might be a resolution coming here pretty soon, but I wouldn't really expect it until near the start of the regular season.
Wait a minute. What was this deadline then? I thought he just lost his ability to become an unrestricted free agent in 2018.
He did, but that's a moot point if he signs the new contract, which that's the hope for both sides, that he's going to sign a new contract before the start of the regular season or worst-case scenario, sometime during the regular season. But if he does that, then it doesn't matter whether he's a restricted free agent or an unrestricted free agent because he's going to be under contract for the next 6 years or so. So, yes, this was somewhat of an important deadline. And if they don't come to a resolution, before the regular season and then into the regular season, then it can become hugely significant. But there seems to be sincere optimism that it's all going to be moot here pretty soon. And I would venture to say it's probably going to be somewhere around the beginning of the season.
Let's guess what the magic number will be. He wanted top-tier quarterback money. The analytics prove that a defensive lineman is not worth as much as a top-tier quarterback. You've suggested to me in the past that, you know what, he might not be a top-tier quarterback, but an average quarterback, a guy that kind of money, he may be worth it. What do you think the number's going to be?
I'm sticking with somewhere $21 million, maybe let's say $21.5 million, and somewhere in the vicinity of 70-plus million guaranteed. That's kind of where, if you look at some of the recent trends, the pay raises that have happened recently, that kind of falls along the lines of the typical next guy up scenario, where the next highest paid player of all time at his position, that's kind of where you would see that sort of an increase. So if you're going by that, and probably a little bit more because Aaron Donald is Aaron Donald, you go over that $21 million threshold.
And for our listeners, because when you talk about guarantees and things in the NFL, it never makes any sense anyway. You're 770. You're saying 70 guaranteed no matter what. He gets 70. Yeah, is that up front over the lifetime of the contract?
It would be, let's say if he plays the length of his contract, he could make more than $70 million. There's no question about that. You'll see something along the lines of like 5 years or so. Let's just throw this out there. Let's say 6 years, $115 million. Now, if he plays all 6 years and reaches all of his, incentives and everything like that, then he'll collect all 100 and however many million dollars. But if he doesn't, or if he gets, or if something were to happen, or if he got traded, he'd still, whatever that guarantee, that full guarantee is, and I'm saying it's going to be in the $70 million range, he will get the $70 million, but he could also make more than that.
Jared Goff's not going to play against Baltimore, right?
It doesn't look like that. That's what Sean McVay has been indicating, and there's really no need for him to play. He's played really well so far in the in training camp, and then he just went through two full days of reps against the first team Baltimore Ravens defense, which I can say they're no joke, that defense in Baltimore. So he got a ton of reps these last couple of days here in Baltimore. No need to rush him into a series or two to start the preseason.
So what are the Rams trying to do?
What I'm interested in is John Mannion. This is his fourth year as the Rams backup quarterback. I know that, that's not that big of a deal. But when you look at what happened in Minnesota last year, when you look at what happened in Philadelphia last year, knock on wood, nothing happens to Jared Goff. But if something were to happen to Jared Goff, like it did Carson Wentz in Philadelphia and Sam Bradford in Minnesota, you had guys that stepped up and they didn't miss a beat in Nick Foles in Philly and Case Keenum in Minnesota.
Right.
Is Sean Mannion able to do that? We don't know. It's his fourth year. He's looked up and down in training camp. In a worst case scenario, can Sean Mannion right the ship for a little while, or maybe even a long while, should something bad happen to Jared Goff?
All right, Vinny, thanks for the info. Stay on top of it.
All right, guys, take care.
You too. There he goes, our man, Vinny Bonsignore, now the Rams writer for The Athletic and our NFL and Rams insider. All right, here we go. Let's find out what we need to do.
It's time for good call.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Bad call.
I may have to hang up on him.
I don't want to hear. Wait a minute. I don't want to hear it, Kevin.
What's that?
No.
What
I said,
about?
Let's find out what we have to do. I didn't want to say it's time for good call, bad call. So then you looked at me like, what are you talking about? Yeah, you did.
This is true. That was unique. I just haven't had that experience. You said, no, it's time for good call, bad call. Let's do this. And
yeah, well, no.
I got it because it already says it in the end.
Yeah, you don't want to be
right?
redundant. I understand.
I'm still trying to recover from the Clippers
right.
playing on NBA TV
right.
and Christopher Columbus.
Being black.
Listen, we're all Ballers fans, and we dig this show. And a brand new season of the hit series Ballers premieres Sunday, 10 p.m. on HBO. Dwayne Johnson is back as Spencer Strathmore, and this season he's expanding his business empire to a Ciudad, L.A. now. Watch Ballers, 10 p.m. only on HBO.
Oh, come on now.
Mm. Come on, Vic.
All right, guys, we just talked to Vinny Bonsignore about the Aaron Donald situation. Good call or bad call for the NFL to get rid of franchise tags and the hard salary cap. Now, Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback of the Packers, did an interview with The Ringer, and he told them he thinks the NFL needs to adapt an NBA salary cap structure where there is no hard cap. If teams go over the cap, they have to play exorbitant amounts over the luxury tax, as well as do away with the franchise tag. Now, I equated this to Aaron Donald because you have Stan Kroenke, the richest owner in the NFL. They could probably pay Aaron Donald whatever they wanted right now, and he'd be in camp if it was only luxury taxes and not a hard salary cap that they would have to deal with. So this gets into the argument of maybe the haves would have even more money to work with, and the have-nots would create much greater separation between the better teams, the richer teams, and the poorer ones. So would it be a good call or a bad call for the NFL to get rid of franchise tags and a hard salary cap and mirror the NBA salary structure, Fred Rogan?
Oh, it'd be a great call for the players. It'd be the best call for the players. You understand the owners will never do that, ever. The one thing about NFL owners, they don't want to spend one more penny than they have to. And they certainly don't want to give the players any kind of control. How many times do we have to say it? In the NBA, the league, the owners, and the players are partners. And to a degree, in baseball, the players and the owners are partners. In the NFL, the players are employees. They are not partners, and therefore they will never, ever surrender that kind of power. Good for the players. I don't think the league would ever do that.
What about you, Rob?
I agree, Fred. It would be a good call, but Fred, you're right that the owners will never surrender power, but that's for the players to take. They're never. You're never going to give the keys up to the shop, right? So you know why baseball players won MLB? They didn't have a World Series in 1994. Remember that? And until NFL players show the owners that they're serious, they have a war chest, and they're going to fight for these unfair policies that they've agreed to, they'll never give in. So I'm with you, Fred. It won't happen unless the players are willing to fight for it. But it would be good to get rid of the franchise tag.
What say you, Vic?
We're a full house. We're all on the same page on this. Let the players earn their money. This is the most violent sport in the world. The average lifespan of an NFL player is, what, 2.5 years in the league?
3.5, I think. Is
3.5?
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Pay them.
Barely have enough time to get a cup of coffee and a sweet roll.
And all the schlock with Aaron Donald would not be going down. You pay Aaron $24 million. He's in camp. Boom.
Get it over with.
The Rams have got their 99 back.
All right, guys. Good call or bad call for LeBron James to be the favorite to win the 2018-2019 NBA MVP. Now, the four-letter network had a bunch of their experts vote on the top 7 MVP candidates for the upcoming season, and LeBron James takes the cake. He got 39.4% of the vote for first place, just ahead of Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, and James Harden. Kawhi Leonard from Toronto, by the way, rounds out the list. He got 6% of the vote. Good call or bad call for LeBron to be the favorite to win the upcoming NBA MVP award, Rob Parker?
Bad call. Stop it with this LeBron's going to be the MVP. In the Western Conference, no, he's not. There's more competition every night. This isn't a cakewalk of the Eastern Conference. These guys are ridiculous. What? And Father Time is undefeated. LeBron is only going to get worse in Los Angeles, not better.
How about you, Fred?
Wow.
Fred shaking his head.
Wow.
Some of the most optimistic radio that you could put out there right there.
Here's the thing. Although I disagree with Rob on everything he said, there's one thing I do agree on. He won't be the MVP, bad call.
Okay.
And he won't be the MVP because the Lakers aren't going to be good enough for him to be the MVP. He's going to get him so far, but that's going to be the end of it in his first year. I mean, if he had some help, some real help, maybe. Maybe they'd make a serious run. But, I mean, they're a playoff team, a second-round playoff team, in my opinion. That's not going to be enough to get him the MVP.
There you go, Fred. You finally came around.
What do you mean? I didn't say run him out of town. He can't play. He's old. He should be riding a rascal. And when he walked into the room, he broke his hip. I didn't say that. I just said he's not going to have enough help this year. He won't be the MVP.
How about you, Vic?
An enlightened call to dub LeBron James early favorite for MVP. Let's face it, this is a freak of nature. We've never seen a ball player like this of our time and space. And I've seen Jordan, and I've seen, you know, all the greats of the association. There has never been a force of nature, a phenomenon like this. And when he raises their game and all the young bloods on the Lakers, they move up to the 3, 4, 5 position in the Western standings after garbage for 5 years. The pure power of LeBron James will be instant, and it will be formidable, and it will be a joy to watch.
Vic does have a point. Changing scenery. Remember, people had Michael Jordan fatigue. That's why Karl Malone won the MVP that 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he changes scenery, changes conference, brings the Lakers up, having that they've been bad for so many years. I can see it happening.
He can't be the MVP, despite the fact they will have already voted on it. He can't be the MVP unless that team gets to the Western Conference.
Right, final. And they will have already voted. Right,
yeah, it's a regular season.
You would be able to tell. I mean, you would have a sense.
He has a better chance of winning an Academy Award than MVP next year.
You are deluded, my friend. I love that about you. I love that about you, all park.
Vic, you know what you get with me. It's an aftertaste.
It doesn't matter what it is. Vic loves it. Vic, you are the most positive person. Hannibal Lecter, Vic.
Oh, God.
Any positive attributes of Hannibal Lecter?
He's a beast. He's a freaking maniac.
He's smart.
Bottom line is, LeBron James is a Laker. Think about it. Just think about that. The greatest player on the planet in Los Angeles. This is going to be an insane season. You guys know that. And even our Parker, you know it's good. I know where you're going with this. I know you don't want to, you know, put the rose petals at his feet. Right,
exactly.
Now.
I want him to earn
you
it,
want
Vic.
To earn
if
your
he
respect.
Earns it, I will. I'll be good with that.
I understand where you're going.
And Fred, Hannibal Lecter helped Clarice solve the murder of Wild Bill, right? Am I wrong here?
No, you're right.
If you help solve a murder, you're an upstanding citizen.
There you go.
Even if you're eating somebody's flesh.
Upstanding citizen's a bit of a stretch.
What you
there.
Do on your own time. That's,
that's
thing.
Something different, right?
See, upstanding citizen when he ripped off old boy's face?
And he likes red meat. Okay.
And those beans.
Right.
What are those beans? Those.
Just take a whole different term.
Fahini beans.
I know.
You eat those white beans, like an Italian bean. A white bean.
Where Christopher Columbus is from.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Good call or bad call to say the Golden State Warriors aren't ruining the NBA. Andre Iguodala did an interview with Sports Illustrated. He says, we are not ruining the NBA. We have a culture. We foster a culture where people want to come here. We play basketball the right way. And that's why DeMarcus Cousins wanted to jump on and join us for a lot less money. He compared the Golden State Warriors to Apple or Google or upstart companies that draw in other people. And it's not their fault. Good call or bad call to say the Golden State Warriors are not ruining the NBA. Fred.
Good call. Okay. He's right about every single thing he said. They've created a culture. Now, let's be fair. They got lucky.
Yeah.
They got lucky when they picked guys and then were able to sign Durant. And everybody's going to get paid eventually.
Especially
we'll
with the Durant thing with the salary cap jumping.
Yeah, then we'll find out. But he's right. They have created a culture. They're not ruining the NBA. It's not their fault. It's everybody else's fault for not figuring out how to be as good as they are. There's a lot of luck involved with it. But, you know, if the goal is to be that, you're not ruining it. And stop complaining if you're not that. Figure out how to get there.
How about you, Rob?
Oh, God.
You know.
Oh, my God, no.
Yeah.
Look, it's a bad call.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm not saying that they ruined the league. LeBron James ruined the league with the whole thing to Miami.
Not even a topic, Rob.
Wait a minute. And all I'm saying is LeBron, he ruined the league. And you know what? Look at it this way, and this will all make sense.
You want to go?
LeBron James started MySpace, and the Golden State Warriors started Facebook. That's where we are. Look at it that way. They won up LeBron, right? Because they were able to add a great player after they won a championship without him.
How about new?
All right, fine. Yeah, LeBron is Tom, and the Golden State Warriors are, I guess, Mark Zuckerberg. I guess that'll work.
Exactly.
All right. How about you, Vic?
Good call by Iguodala. Basketball, even the whole world of sports.
What's his name, Vic?
Iguodala.
Okay.
It's all about dynasties. You root for them and you root against them. That's the essence of sports. Golden State has built an incredible empire in Northern California, but it will be torn down eventually. They can't pay everybody. They can't pay Klay Thompson. When Klay becomes a free agent next year, you know, they'll take care of the Durants, they'll take care of the Currys, take care of the Draymonds, but they can't pay everyone. But right now, they should just be savoring their success, and sports fans and basketball fans should be relishing in the Golden State afterglow.
All right. Gonna get a little bit personal on this one. See how much you guys can take, especially since Rob talks food all the time.
Yes.
Good call, bad call to say you can take down a 7-pound cheeseburger. Now, the Arizona Cardinals introduced their new menu for their stadium this past week. They have a new burger called the Gridiron Burger Challenge. What it is, it's a $75 burger, by the way. It's pretty pricey. But if a fan can eat it, they'll get a free autographed Cardinals jersey as well as have their face plastered on the Jumbotron. Isabella's bringing a photo of the burger into you guys right now.
Look at this thing.
I think it also comes with a free angioplasty.
I think you have to pay extra for that one.
It's humongous.
Yeah. So what's on the burger includes three-pound burger patties, five hot dogs, five bratwursts, 20 slices of cheese, 8 slices of bacon, 8 chicken tenders, 12 ounces of fries, and lettuce, tomatoes, and pickles, too. Good call or bad call to say you could take down this 7-pound cheeseburger, Fred Rogan?
For me, it's a terrible call.
Okay.
I would be in the hospital. There's no way. And you know what the problem I have with it is?
What?
And I don't understand this. And maybe you guys can fill me in. Because Rob is a connoisseur of fine food.
I love to eat.
All right. Here's the deal. Give me a 7-pound hamburger, fine. Why are you putting 30 bratwursts, 6 hot dogs, chicken tenders, fries? Give me a hamburger with cheese.
Taste the meat. They want you to taste the meat rainbow, I guess, there, Fred.
I don't get it. It's like people that have hamburgers with ice cream. You know what I mean?
Well, that's just disgusting.
Yeah, but why? Why mix it up? Eat one thing and then eat another. Don't eat them together. When I eat, I separate all the food on my plate.
I don't want my food to touch.
I don't either.
I don't want it to touch.
That's my point.
I'm with you.
You don't have, like, you go to a barbecue and sometimes the barbecue sauce trails off into the macaroni and cheese?
I don't want it to touch my macaroni and cheese.
I put, like, a French fry or something to separate
exactly,
the
like a...
Come on.
Like a barrier.
You keep it pristine. Pristine.
My God.
I don't want things mixed up.
All right. How about you, Rob?
Can you take down the 7-ounce?
No, you can't do it, huh?
I can't do it either. I can eat, but that is, like, I would definitely not finish that. And I'm with Fred. Enough with all this. Just too much stuff going on. I don't need chicken nuggets on a hamburger. And I don't want my hot dog next to my hamburger. Just give me cheese, pickles, lettuce, all that other good stuff. Too much. Vic?
tough call.
Tough call?
I couldn't eat it myself.
Okay. It's a tough call?
But this is the way of stadium food. It's always, the last 10 years has been creative. They've gone to the next level. And if you look at what's going on in the food industry, they're mixing and matching incredible combinations and going wild with it. And the people are digging it. This is like a new wave of food. It's a new wave of foodie. People are crazy for that. You get the signed jersey, you get a Josh Rosen jersey at the end of his Arizona Cardinals.
You get a signed jersey to wear in your casket. just like that Kyrie Irving fan down in Florida. Remember they put him up in a Lazy Boy.
Right.
you get a signed Cardinals jersey to wear in your casket.
Now I know
that was the worst thing I know. We've had on in some time.
I know you love that. That's why
you
I brought
got the
it up.
Soda and a bag of chips.
You weren't here for that.
No, I wasn't. But
this poor kid lost his life. He was killed.
Right, I remember the story.
All right, and to celebrate his life, they put him, it's like they stuffed him and put him in a chair wearing a Celtics jersey. And for whatever reason, so, and he had like a bag of chips.
And an Xbox controller
in his hand.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy had been embalmed.
Wow.
And for whatever reason, Jason thought that was like the funniest thing. And he goes, you got to see the picture. We didn't want to see the picture. We looked. It was horrible.
Just the photo without context, though. You tell me, you know, it makes you smile at least a little bit?
No. No. Seeing someone who's been embalmed, it looked like I went to the wax museum. That's what it looked like.
Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, it was
no
disgusting.
Good. No, no good.
No, no good, Jason.
And that's good call, bad call, gentlemen.
Bad call, Jason. All right, Petros and Mightier next on AM 570 LA Sports. Man.